With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
All right, I'm dancing now. Come on, join me. Let's have a dance to this song. Good morning, and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, September 5th. How are we doing this morning? Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive Iceville cooling technology, along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. Bum, 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 bum. Anyway, love that song, Ed Arzuman. This is the final Talking Golf show of the season. We've had
How
a great time,
that?
Right, Ed?
A heck of a year, heck of a year. Great run. It was nice to actually have the show for, you know, more than just once in a while. It was great to have you on 26 times this year.
Ah, oh, thank you. And terrific job by Ed, really. You guys did a great job, the whole production team at WFAN. And yeah, 26 shows this season, which is great. And we'll be back next April on the Sunday preceding Masters Week, as we have the last several years. So it's been a great season. And, you know, the guests on the show have been really, really fascinating, from Megan Gagne's coach, Katie Rudolph, coming on our very first show of the season, the Sunday immediately following Megan playing in the Augusta National Women's Amateur. She started us off. Sid Matthew, the foremost authority on Bobby Jones. Dr. Craig Farnsworth, the putt doctor. Author John Steinbrenner. Gary Player, remember that interview? Gary Player talking about his son Wayne's antics at the Masters this year during the honorary starter ceremony. Then we got Stuart Sink. He came on after winning his second PGA Tour event of the season at the age of 47. Yay, Stuart. Hall of Famer, the amazing Renee Pell, joined us as well. Tourism Ireland's Alison Metcalf. Brando Chambly of the Golf Channel, he came on. Brad Worthington, he was our guest up at Pound Ridge. Nathaniel Crosby, the captain of the winning U.S. Walker Cup team, he joined us as well. Nathan Grube, the tournament director of the Travelers Championship, and Andy Bassett of Travelers as well, they joined us. Jack Nicklaus II, he came on to talk about his book. Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, he joined us. Buddy Darby, the original developer of the Ocean Course on Kiawah Island. He joined us after Phil Mickelson's incredible win at the PGA Championship. We spoke to veteran sports writer Mike Perkey, Craig Annis of the USGA, Steve Eubanks of the LPGA. Grant Waite, fascinating guy, former PGA Tour player, now coaching some of the top players on the LPGA. He joined us as well. Dr. Jeff Pablarski of the USGA Wellness Program. Jay Haas, what a gentleman. Jay Haas, former PGA Tour player, currently playing on the Champions Tour. He was one of our guests this year. Renowned golf course architect, Gil Hance, gave us some insight on his redesign at Baltusrol, the renovation there. Korn Ferry Tour player, Austin Eckroat, who I had the pleasure of playing with at the BMW charity pro-am. He came on. Tom Coyne, best-selling author of A Course Called America. I love the book so much, I'm going to give everybody who plays in my charity golf tournament at Maidstone in a couple weeks a copy of that book. It's just an incredible book. Martin Dempster, longtime writer for The Scotsman, he was a guest. Damon Hack of the Golf Channel joined us. Roger Clemens. I met Roger, well, I interviewed him years ago on my show, on Sports Interview, the cable show, and I ran into him at the BMW Charity Pro-Am, and he agreed to come on, and he's so passionate about golf. But he also was very honest when I asked him, you know, what his life has been like since retiring from the game, you know, in the midst of all those steroid allegations and everything else that was going on. Hall of Famer Jan Stevenson joined us. Brian Crowell of SiriusXM PJ Tour Radio, PJ GM of Trump Golf Links, he came on as well. Ron Syrak, award-winning golf journalist. Beth Ann Nichols of Golf Week. Julie Tyson, the executive director of Northern Trust. Golf media personality Craig Kahn. Alex Maselli, founder of Morning Read. Mark Canizzaro of The Post. Henry Johnston of Northern Trust. And you heard my extensive conversation last week with the great Jim Nantz. So, you know, we're proud of the guests we bring you and the personalities that we had on the show. So hope you enjoyed those conversations. And they're actually up on my website at annlegori.com. If you want to hear them at your leisure, you can go to the website, into the radio section, the radio archives, click into that, and you can hear any of these Talking Golf shows at your leisure. I actually put this new website together, or had it put together. And my cable interviews from my classic sports interview cable series, they're all, well, not all of them, but many of them are on the website that you can go now and watch. If you're interested in watching these classic interviews with, you know, legends such as Mickey Mantle, who I interviewed, gosh, back in 1989, Ted Williams, Wilt Chamberlain, Jim Brown, a lot of shows I was able to put up on that website. So check it out. This morning, we will learn about the upcoming LPGA Founders Cup, which takes place right here in the New York metropolitan area at beautiful Mountain Ridge Country Club in West Caldwell, New Jersey. It's October 4th through the 10th. I had a chat with Scott Wood, the tournament director, and we talk about the importance of remembering the founders of the LPGA and how this tournament honors them. And remember the Big Bertha driver? I still have that driver in my basement, and I'm sure it's a collector's item. Well, years ago, when I hosted my primetime series on the Golf Channel, one of my guests was Ely Callaway, the founder of Callaway Golf. And I interviewed him in his office in Carlsbad, California. And actually, many of the celebrities who promoted Callaway Golf back then, you know, from Alice Cooper, the King of Shock Rock, to Celine Dion, Smokey Robinson, I met them through the people at Callaway, and they were on my TV show as well. Well, last Sunday, I had the opportunity to play golf with Ely Callaway's son, Nicholas Callaway, along with Billy Beattie, who's in the music business, my good friend Annie Nussbaum. And Nicholas Callaway, you know, started reminiscing about his dad, who was a great amateur golfer and entrepreneur. And his father, with the Big Bertha driver, actually revolutionized the golf equipment business. And as I say, I still have it. I'm sure, you know, I hope if you had that driver, you didn't sell it. It's just such a collector's item. So anyway, I thought the stories and the history would be so fascinating. So I invited Nicholas Callaway to come on the show. So at about 7:40 this morning, we'll talk to Nicholas Callaway. All right, some of the top golf stories going on. Well, the Solheim Cup has taken Ohio by storm. It is happening at Inverness Club in Toledo, Ohio. And the matches started yesterday. They'll finish up tomorrow with the 12 singles matches. And Team Europe is looking for back-to-back victories over Team USA after they beat Team USA in Glen Eagles in 2019, 14.5 to 13.5. Well, after the first day of competition yesterday, Team Europe leads Team USA 5.5 to 2.5. So yes, Team Europe dominated yesterday. In the Saturday morning session, the European team won 3 of the 4 matches, and then they tied one. And then in the four-ball session in the afternoon, the teams tied it 2 apiece. And Nelly Korda and Allie Ewing defeated Nana Kurtz-Matson and Madeline Segstrom 1-up in one of the afternoon matches. But there was a huge controversy in that match. And it occurred on the par 5 13th. Korda reached the green in 2, had a 27-foot putt for eagle. Her ball stopped ever so close to the hole. But Segstrom picked up the ball quicker than the allotted 10-second waiting time. And so Korda's putt was deemed to be hold. Korda was like on her knees down on the green thinking, how could that putt not go in? Now that ball was really close to the hole. But it's up for debate whether it was actually hanging over the hole. I personally looked at it. You know, they showed a couple angles. I don't believe it was. I don't believe the ball would have dropped in the cup had it sat there for 10 seconds or any amount of time. But nonetheless, Rule 13.3B states that if the opponent in match play deliberately lifts or moves the player's ball overhanging the hole before the waiting time has ended, the player's ball is treated as hold with the previous stroke. The chief referee and several others deemed that Nelly Korda's third shot on number 13 was overhanging the hole and was picked up by her opponent before the waiting time had ended. Therefore, her third stroke was treated as if it was hold. So Nelly Korda and Allie Ewing ended up winning the match 1-up, and they won that point for Team USA. But boy, if Team Europe loses by 1 point, it would be pretty ugly. It didn't look like to me that the ball was overhanging the lip of the cup. Hey, I want the Americans to win, but I don't really agree with the call. Basically, you know, it came down to the European team not following the rules, not waiting for the 10 seconds before picking up the ball. And, you know, really none of the players had any say in the matter other than the European team didn't think the ball was overhanging, but Segstrom knew that she broke the rule and picked up the ball too early. I mean, you never want to see controversy like that, but hey, it happens. The other winners from the U.S. team in the afternoon session were Jennifer Kupcho and Lisette Salas. They won 1-up against Carlotta Giganda and Sophia Popoff. And you can watch the Solheim Cup on the Golf Channel and NBC throughout the day and tomorrow from noon to 6 on the Golf Channel. But USA, they have to really pick up their play today in order to, you know, be in a position for a win tomorrow for the singles matches. All right, at the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club, Atlanta, Georgia, Patrick Cantlay, he will enter today's final round at 20 under, 2 shots ahead of John Rahm and 5 shots ahead of Justin Thomas. Cantlay shot rounds of 67, 66, and 67, continuing his impressive play after his 6-hole sudden-death playoff win against Bryson DeChambeau last week. Hey, I'm not crazy about this playoff format, to be honest with you. I mean, mostly the part where the Tour Championship is weighted by the FedEx Cup starting strokes. Patrick Cantlay starting the Tour Championship 2 shots ahead of Tony Finau. I think the top 30 players should all start equally in the final leg of the playoffs, you know, so more players have a chance to knock off, you know, the guy coming in with the most momentum. I mean, today, John Rahm certainly has a shot to pass Cantlay. Rahm's been playing incredible. He started the tournament 4 shots back. He's played brilliantly with scores of 65, 65, 68. And yeah, it could be a dogfight between Cantlay and John Rahm. I mean, you want that. Brooks Koepka withdrew in yesterday's third round of the Tour Championship with a wrist injury, that left wrist, the same one that he had issues with back in 2017 and 2018. He injured it apparently when he hit a root in the rough on an approach shot He ended up bogeying that hole. I think that was the 10th hole. He made par in the 11th and 12th holes, but then he withdrew. And apparently he's going to get it x-rayed tomorrow. But, you know, Koepka is one of the six players who automatically qualified for the Ryder Cup, which is coming up September 24th through the 26th. So Koepka's wrist, hopefully it will be 100%. And then you have Patrick Reed. He's playing in the Tour Championship in 21st place, shooting a 4-under yesterday, despite the fact that he recently recovered from bilateral pneumonia. And he said he was fighting for his life the first 2 days he was in the hospital. Pretty scary. But what an incredible recovery, quick recovery to come back and to be able to play. Phil Mickelson, Fred Couples, they will join the U.S. Ryder Cup team as assistant captains. So Captain Steve Stricker has Davis Love III. He has Jim Furyk. He has Zach Johnson and Phil Mickelson and Freddie Couples. So he has the five assistant captains. Tiger will not be one of the assistant captains. Steve Stricker said that Tiger wants to be there, but he's just not able to at this time. And I have not gotten the sense that Tiger is ready physically after that horrendous accident. He hasn't really posted too much about his recovery, but as much as his presence would inspire the Ryder Cup team, I just don't get the sense that he's, you know, certainly not able to walk and be around, you know, the terrain of Whistling Straits. It's a very tough course to walk. All right, coming up, Scott Wood, the tournament director of the LPGA Founders Cup, which takes place at Mountain Ridge Country Club in West Caldwell, New Jersey, October 4th through the 10th. But let me first tell you that IB Cool is a luxury athleisure wear for both men and women, offering the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. IB Cool offers multifunctional, intelligent, the exclusive moisture sensor fabric featuring ice-fill technology that cools your body so you can stay comfortable and odor-free on hot and humid days. IB Cool apparel also features SPF 50+ sun protection. It's colorful, it's stylish, ultra-soft fabric with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. Learn more at IBCool, IBKUL.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Founders Cup takes place in the New York metropolitan area October 4th through the 10th at the beautiful Mountain Ridge Country Club in West Caldwell, New Jersey. And Scott Wood is the tournament director, and he joins me now. Welcome to Talking Golf, Scott.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
It's great to have you on the show and very excited about this Founders Cup. It has come to the New York metropolitan area. How exciting!
It is. It's, you know, having played in Arizona for the last 10 years and, you know, this is a new era for the Founders Cup, and we are transferring it from the desert. We're going to start playing in the New Jersey, Northern New Jersey, New York metropolitan area. And you're right. I mean, Mountain Ridge is a world-class golf course. It's a hidden gem, really. That term gets used a lot when I talk to others in the area, but, it's going to be a test for our players. I can guarantee you that Donald Ross, the greens are just, they're undulating, and they're going to be a test for our players. And we're excited to bring the tour to this area.
I love that golf course. I had the opportunity to play Mountain Ridge a couple months ago, and I played with the club president, Bob Brenner, and mm-hmm. I met some wonderful board members over there, John Kessler and Dick Aborn, and they were so hospitable. But you talk about its reputation. Mountain Ridge has hosted 4 New Jersey PGA Championships, 3 Met Opens. They hosted the New Jersey SGA, the MGA Amateur Championships, the Ike the New Jersey PGA Championship back in 2017. I mean, I can go on and on and on. As you say, a very highly regarded golf course. And I love Donald Ross designs. He designed it back in 1929. And you have this clubhouse, which is sitting beautifully up on a plateau overlooking the golf course. And both holes 9 and 18 rise dramatically back up to the clubhouse. So very challenging contours on the fairways and on the greens. I think it's going to be a tough test.
It certainly will be. And I think, you know, when we started looking at golf courses in the Northeast, when we pulled into Mountain Ridge and we saw that that clubhouse, it was just the first, you know, we fell in love as soon as we pulled on the property. And then we got on the other side of the clubhouse and we looked down through kind of that little valley there and we saw the golf course and we, you know, we saw how 9 and 18 come up back towards the clubhouse. And it really is, it fit every box. It checked every box that we wanted. And really, you know, we started right then talking about how can we bring the LPGA Tour to Mountain Ridge and the West Caldwell community. And, I'll tell you this right now, Bob and James Messina, their GM, they rolled out the red carpet from day one. And there has been so much excitement and so much enthusiasm from not only their group, but the membership that we see. And we've talked to the community officials that we've been working with to make sure that we have everything buttoned up when we come to town, you know, October 4th through the 10th. So it's going to be just a special event for us. It's one of our marquee events outside of our Solheim Cup that really just it's a way for us to celebrate and honor, you know, the 71 years of the LPGA Tour.
I want to get to the Solheim Cup in a second, but talk about the history of the Founders Cup, because here it's such an appropriate tribute to the 13 women who are founders of the LPGA who wanted to play professional golf. And they founded the LPGA back in 1950. And boy, they were 13 courageous women, right, to kind of get through all those obstacles and barriers that they faced. And their dreams and visions prevailed, but it wasn't easy, right?
You're absolutely right. I mean, I am amazed. Now, I've been playing golf for almost 40 years now. And I knew about the LPGA. I knew the likes of Nancy Lopez and Betsy King. You know, and just all of those ladies that you know, were playing when I was growing up in golf. But when I started to meet some of the founders and I started to hear the stories about how they would caravan from city to city, you know, Marilyn Smith, who just recently passed, but she was kind of the mother of the group. And she told me, she said, you know, we were a traveling sisterhood. She said, we were determined to get this thing off the ground because we just love to play the game that much. And this was, these are all these stories were out there and all they were just being, they just weren't being brought to the forefront. And when you sit down and you speak with Shirley Spork, who's still one of our two surviving founders, the stories and the just how incredible it was for them to be able to bring this tour to life and to be able to keep it going through the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And, you know, then it kind of just really took off from there. It's, you know, the dedication and the tenacity of those women. I'm amazed. And I just sit back and listen to Shirley tell stories and I just soak it all in because it truly is a history for golf that is just amazing. And I don't know if I truly understood what I was tasked with when I started this job almost 6.5 years ago, but I feel a sense of ownership and pride right now that I can go out and tell this story and talk about the founders and talk about these ladies that just, you know, they fought through a lot to be able to make sure that women's golf was going to be on the map and to be able to take off and be able to provide generation after generation of female golfers an opportunity to not only play a game that I think they all love and that we all love, but they can actually go out and make a living at it.
That's right. And Shirley Spork, you said, will be at this year's Founders Cup, right? What is she, a young 90-something?
You know what? I think she proudly says that she's 94 these days, so I can say it. So, you know, typically you don't talk about a woman's age. But, yeah, so, listen, she's going to be bouncing around. She's going to be – we have this special area on 18. It's called the Founders Perch. And so when we're live on Golf Channel, you'll see Shirley sitting right by 18 green, watching the action come up the golf course. It's typically the last 3 hours of golf, you know, the coverage. And so it's a way for today's players, as they come up 18, to be able to look over and go, man, that lady right there is the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing right now, why I'm wearing these corporate logos, why I'm making a great living out here. It's because of what Shirley and the other 12 did. So it's if you get a chance, you know, obviously grab your tickets, come out, and if you get a chance to see and say hello to Shirley Spork, we have a special golf cart for her. You're gonna know who she is when she kind of, you know, makes her way around the golf course. Please say hello, because she loves to meet people. And she loves to tell you about the LPGA.
I can't wait. I'd love to interview her during the Founders Cup. That would be great. My goodness, what
Absolutely.
A story. And do you remember anything she told you as far as, you know, what it was like when they founded the LPGA?
Yeah, she, you know, they always just talk about it. They you know, she always said, listen, we didn't really have much, right? And so when they would go from city to city, they would do their own marketing. They would do their own course setup. They would do their own rules, and they didn't have the team that we have now. I mean, we're coming in, you know, we have, you know, at least 75 people that help us run this golf tournament, you know, and then we have 500 to 600 volunteers out there that are helping us do that. They didn't have any of that back in the day. They just had a passion for golf. And they knew they were onto something, and people started to take note. And, you know, she just says that, you know, wherever they went and whoever they could find and tell their story to, they told them, and they invited them out to the golf tournament. And she said, and from there, you know, it was just, they got to be able to play golf in front of a few hundred people, and, you know, they were just living their dreams. And I think that's what, you know, really we all want to do these days is have a dream and see it through.
Right, that passion. They just wanted tournaments to play in, right? And then they all got together and established the LPGA Teaching Division, which today is known as the LPGA Professionals Membership. And that's so important. And to look at the LPGA to see where it's come from those days in the 50s when these 13 LPGA founders organized the LPGA, it's just phenomenal how far it's come. Now, can it continue to grow? Absolutely. But really, I would say in the past, say 7-10 years, the LPGA has really, really come a long way.
It has. And it's, I'm happy to be a part of it. It's a great team that we have. It's a team environment. And we're trying to do our part, right, to leave the game better than we found it. And, you know, and when you talk about all those divisions, not everyone that plays golf gets to play professional golf, right? So the teaching and club professionals, they're out there grinding it 7 days a week at your local golf club and, you know, giving lessons and trying to make sure that they're preserving their part of the game. You know, another big piece of it that the Founders Cup really is a big part of is the LPGA USGA Girls Golf Program. And that's our main benefactor for tournament proceeds. And that's our way to be able to make sure that the next generation is secured. There's funding for those programs, you know, around the country, and it's actually grown into an international program now. So there's nearly 100,000 young girls ages 7 to 17 in this girls' golf program, and we're getting close to 550 sites around the world now. So the game has never been stronger, and the LPGA Tour has never been stronger, and it's. You know, we're just so happy that the fans and the golf community just continue to see that and keep supporting us, because that's truly what we need.
And I think it's so important, Scott, for the current players, especially the real young pros, to understand what it was like back in the 50s when these 13 LPGA founders organized the LPGA. Now, I know in tennis, they just inducted the founding, you know, members of the WTA into the Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island, the Tennis Hall of Fame. And I think that's so important, because a lot of young people, not just golfers or tennis players, but a lot of young athletes aren't aware of the history and how difficult it was years ago and how few opportunities there were for women in sports years ago. I think it's just so important for the current day athletes to understand that, don't you?
I do wholeheartedly. And you know, that's one thing that the Founders Cup is, that's one thing that we try to do, is we try to tell that story. We try to make sure that, you know, those young, you know, let's say late teen, early 20 players that are just coming on tour, I mean, they've only seen the digital age, and they've only seen where the money keeps growing. I mean, we're almost playing for $100 million in purse these days, you know, and when you look back at 1950, there was 14 tournaments and they were playing for a total purse of $50,000. So it's just our way to be able to preserve this story and this history through this golf tournament, and to be able to tell that story. And, you know, we do our part during tournament week to make sure that all the players understand, and for us to be able to try to get Shirley in front of them. And if Marlene's traveling, then, you know, if she's in front of them, and to be able to preserve that message, you know, and also too, it's been, we've kind of handed the baton a little bit to the likes of Nancy Lopez and some of the other pioneers that, you know, once those original 13 were starting to phase out a little bit, there was a new generation of ladies that were going to take that baton and run with it. So we're honoring Nancy Lopez and two other players that were very key to the growth of the LPGA back in the 1970s. And we call them our pioneers, right? So they took it, they run with it, and they're preserving the history as well. So I think, you know, for the fans that come out that might not know our story fully, there will be opportunities around the golf course for you to be able to, you know, see photos of some of our, you know, of our founders, and be able to see a timeline of 70 years and start to see how it's progressed, you know, and some of the stars that have made it what it is today, like Annika Sorenstam and, you know, Lydia Ko back in the 2010. So it's just a great platform for us to be able to tell our story.
It certainly is. And I treasure the TV interview I did years ago with Patty Berg. And when people ask me, who's the one athlete you would have loved to have interviewed, I would have loved to have sat down with Babe Zaharias. That just would have been unbelievable, you know. And for my sports interview show, I sat down with you know, Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams and Sam Snead and Don Budge and Billie Jean and Patty Berg. But gosh, it would have been great to connect with Babe Zaharias. And, you know, Nancy Lopez has been on my TV and radio shows. And Jan Stevenson was just on a couple weeks ago. Annika has been on both the TV and radio shows. So I try to bring, you know, a lot of these trailblazers on the show so that men and women can really learn and appreciate, you know, what they did for their sport. So I'm just so pleased to have you on to talk about the Founders Cup. Now, you're actually in Toledo at the Inverness Club for the Solheim Cup, and you're a part of the LPGA team that oversees the Solheim Cup. What has your week been like so far? It must be so exciting.
It is, and it's been jam-packed, I tell you. Solheim Cup is our, you know, it's our marquee event. It's the Ryder Cup for the women, you know, but it's really just been, we've had just all these festivities and just really, you know, everything's been leading up to this moment, right? And when we play on Monday for the singles finals, it's going to be just an incredible atmosphere, you know. Inverness is a true gem as well. It's another Donald Ross design, and it sets up very well for this kind of event. So it's been a fun, you know, I'll say tiring week, but this is what we do and this is what we love. So there's nothing like the Solheim Cup.
All right. Well, that was Scott Wood, the tournament director of the Founders Cup. He's with the LPGA, and he's actually at the Solheim Cup all week at Inverness Golf Club in Toledo, Ohio. And it's going on this morning, the Solheim Cup. Europe leading 5.5 to 2.5, and Team USA has to turn it around today. I mean, they're playing the foursomes, the alternate shot format this morning. And, you know, Americans don't play alternate shot format as often as the Europeans do. It's very, very difficult format. But Team USA has to put points on the scoreboard today to have a chance to take back the cup before the 12 singles matches are played tomorrow. All right, coming up, Nicklas Callaway, the son of Eli Callaway, the founder of Callaway Golf and the big Bertha driver, which revolutionized the golf club technology out there. Nicklas is the founder and CEO of Callaway Arts and Entertainment. It's a diverse media platform, and Nicklas will join us when we come back. But first, let me tell you, as the brand ambassador for Ivy Cool, I can attest to the high-quality, performance-driven leisure apparel line that is perfect to wear on and off the course. Not only does the moisture sensor fabric keep me cool on the links, Ivy Cool garments also feature SPF 50 plus sun protection. All this plus a wide variety of colorful and stylish silhouettes in tops, shorts, pants, skirts, and dresses. And men can choose from many styles as well. Look your best, protect your skin. Ivy Cool. Learn more at IBKUL.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Talkin' to Golf. If you're on your way to your tee time, hit them straight, will ya? You golfers surely remember the Big Bertha. And I'm not talking about the huge German artillery piece, but that's what the historic driver was named after. I'm talking about the driver that revolutionized the golf equipment business. And joining me now is Nicholas Callaway, the son of the late Ely Callaway, who founded and ran Callaway Golf. Welcome to Talking Golf, Nicholas.
Thank you, Anne. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. I had the pleasure of interviewing your dad a while back.
Yes, I remember well.
You remember well for my show on the Golf Channel. What a Southern gentleman. And so accomplished, really. And I didn't realize what a great amateur player he was.
He was. In fact, he was a lifelong golfer, and he almost turned pro when he was a teen, but most people who know of him as a golf entrepreneur didn't realize that he brought a lifetime of playing and understanding the game before he started his golf club company at the age of 64.
Unbelievable. He had three different careers, right?
He did. First, he was in the textile industry for 40 years. And then at the age of 50, at the end of the 60s, he moved to California and became one of the first premium varietal wine growers in the then fledgling California wine industry. And that was called Callaway Vineyards and Winery. And he built that up. And after 15 years, he sold it and was planning to retire. But then he met two gentlemen who had invented a hickory over steel set of wedges. And he was so intrigued by it that he bought the company.
And voila, he got into the golf club manufacturing business.
He sure did. And for a few years, it was, it was a little tiny company. It was sort of a novelty item, these hickory sticks. But then along came the Big Bertha, and the rest is history.
Unbelievable. So how exactly did the Big Bertha driver come about?
Well, it was the principle of that if you create an oversized head, whether it's a tennis racket or a golf club, that you're increasing the size of the sweet spot. So he said, I can't guarantee you that I'll improve your game, but the driver is the most intimidating club in the bag, and you will enjoy it more with the Big Bertha.
Definitely, and it was made for the average golfer. As you said, if you didn't hit it on the sweet spot, the engineers figured the ball still had a good chance of going straight.
Yeah, it was very far. Very forgiving.
And every driver since has had, that big head. And it really was, what was the reaction when it first came out? I remember it was just so cool when it first came out. Your father, sent me a Big Bertha driver. And I mentioned to you, I still have it in my basement. I will never get
great.
Rid of it. It's a collector's item for sure. But what was the reaction back then?
Well, I can tell you my reaction, which was, after about 5 or 6 years of these hickory sticks, which we didn't really, in the family, we didn't really take it very seriously. I played golf with him one day, as I had all my life, and he had a bag with a towel over it hiding these new products. And he said, he held up the club before unveiling it and said, this is going to revolutionize the golf club industry, and I'm going to call it the Big Bertha. What do you think of the name, Nicholas? And I said, I think that's the worst name for a product I've ever heard. And he said, well, He said, well, you're wrong. It's actually a great name because it has a story behind it, which is the World War One cannon. And he said, and besides that, it is going to make it easier for the average golfer around the world to enjoy the game. And he said, just remember, the product makes the name doesn't make the product. And so he said, why don't you try it out? I said, I still think it's a terrible name. And he said, well, try it out. So I addressed the ball and hit it and it made a very strange sound. And the club head flew off the shaft about 20 yards and the ball dribbled off the tee. And he said, well, we still got a few gluing problems, but I guarantee we're going to work it out and it's going to be big.
Unbelievable. You mean when you hit the ball, the club actually broke initially?
Yeah, it broke.
That's incredible.
It was still a prototype, but they figured it out. And of course it was a sensation. I took the golf industry by storm, I guess, in the early 90s. But the funny thing is that it was so big then, but it looks tiny now compared to, you know, the way club head size has continued to increase.
That's right. Well, I remember you saying I didn't realize it, but Callaway was the first golf club company to go public.
It was, I think, in 1992, and because it was a sleepy old industry, and he really shook things up, and it became the first golf club company. It became the largest golf club company in the world, and the first one to achieve $1 billion in sales during his lifetime in the late 90s. And I think that's when you first met him.
Right. And yeah, I was on the Golf Channel in the late 90s. And Bruce Parker, may he rest in peace, he was a sales rep, a telemarketer for Callaway.
And yes, he was the first head of sales. Yep.
He did such an incredible job. He got that Big Bertha in everybody's hands, and you know, in the media and stars. I remember calling him. I got to, you know him, and we became good buddies. And I would call him and say, "Listen, I just saw Celine Dion do a commercial for you. Can you get me to Celine Dion so I can ask her to be on my show on the Golf Channel?" And he said, "Hold on a second." Within 2 minutes, he had me on the phone with Celine Dion. And within 5 minutes, I booked her on my show. That's the power of Bruce Parker.
Yeah. And he was a great salesman, and I think he learned a lot of lessons from Ely.
Oh, yeah. And then they also, you know, Alice Cooper did a lot of spots for Callaway Golf back in the day, and Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
They got a lot of celebrities to embrace the Big Bertha.
They did. They did a campaign with celebrities in all fields, talking about how much they love the Big Bertha. I think they had Bill Gates on there. And Ely was a master marketer.
He really was. And of course, you learned a lot from your dad. You are the founder and CEO of Callaway Arts and Entertainment. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You didn't go into the golf business.
Well, I already had my company. I learned entrepreneurial lessons from my dad. He was an anti-nepotist. He didn't want any family members being in business with him. So I started my company, which is a cross-platform media company in the early 80s. This is our 40th anniversary, and we work with artists all over the world, we're producing the last book with the Beatles called The Beatles Get Back this fall on October 12th. It's being released in 10 languages and 100 countries around the world. And it's the companion to a Peter Jackson film that tells the story of the making of the last Beatles album, Let It Be, their final iconic rooftop concert, and then their breakup. And he says, we don't know the real story, so he's going to tell it he's going to tell the real story, he says. And so our book, which is called The Beatles Get Back, is the companion to that film and to the 50th anniversary re-release of Let It Be.
That's incredible. Will it be a coffee table book, or what kind of format?
Yes, it's a $60 coffee table book with hundreds of pictures taken by Linda McCartney, Paul's then girlfriend, soon to be wife, and of them in the recording studio as they were making the album. It was the only time they they did record both their conversations and made pictures during the making of an album. So it's a historic book, and we hope that all of your golfing fans are also Beatles fans.
Definitely. And I remember I used a picture of you standing next to Madonna to promote your appearance on this show. So you've had quite a run with a lot of different personalities.
We work with a lot of well-known artists, musical artists, visual artists, and we've been Madonna's publisher for about 20 years now. So, we're very, very fortunate to work with some of the most talented people of our time.
Well, I had the great pleasure of playing golf with you, Nicklas, and your buddy Bill Beattie, and my friend Ann Nussbaum at National Golf Links. And you started talking about your dad, and it brought back so many memories. I just wanted to get you on the show. So I'm glad you had a chance to come on
and recall
the Big Bertha in the Origins.
Well, Ely made sure to introduce us. He was very fond of you, and you did a wonderful interview, one of the last with him. So I thank you for that. And I'm going off to play a tournament now, so I'll sign off.
Thank you so much. Good luck. Hit them well, and have a great rest of the summer, what's left of it.
And thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Nicklas Callaway. Oh, man. Well, gosh, my thanks to Nicklas. My thanks to Scott Wood, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Great job, Ed, all season long. Brian Rascona helped in production this week. I want to thank Hotel Indigo and Riverhead. I want to thank my sponsors, Travelers and IB Cool. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is the final Talking Golf show of the season. So thanks again to all the amazing guests who came on the show this season. If you'd like to hear any of the shows at your leisure, they are archived on my website at annlegori.com. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori was brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for women and men, performance-driven, stylish, and ultra-soft for all your on- or off-course activities. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. Hey, I look forward to returning next April with Talking Golf live from the Masters. Until then, you'll hear me today from the U.S. Open Tennis, hopefully from the Ryder Cup. Follow me on social media. Visit my website. Coming up, Rick Wolf in the Sports Edge. And I look forward to connecting with you next time on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.